Morning. You please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Please allow the story that you have blessed me with be a strength and glory to your name. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Being in church every Sunday was just a part of life growing up. Both my mom and my grandma were active members of their congregations, and it was only natural that my siblings and I participated as much as possible as well. We didn't have a choice. I can't really complain, though. I often had a lot of fun at church as a kid. We learned songs for children's choir, internalized Bible stories, and make lots of friends who shared the same faith. Going to church and learning about God was truly second nature. But as they say sometimes, habits were meant to be broken. When I left for college, I ended up leaving more than just my hometown. I was leaving behind the structure of having most of my life decisions made for me. My mom and stepdad helped me carry my belongings into the two-bed dorm room at Sam Houston State University in Huntsville. And the moment they left, they took with them the responsibility of anyone caring if I woke up on time to go to class, if I went to sleep or was even in my room at a reasonable hour, or whether I ate regularly and nutritiously. If it weren't for being in such close quarters with my roommate, no one would probably have cared if I showered regularly. Most importantly, for today's purposes, no one was there any longer to care if I got up on Sunday morning to go to church. I felt as though I truly embraced the freedom of college life, classes throughout the first half of the day, and campus life and parties every other moment afterwards. My social life and pretty girls wasn't all that I was preoccupied with, though. I also had a heck of a time securing loans for each semester. My grades in high school weren't exactly stellar, and my non-existent study habits led me to struggle immensely through my first 2 years of college. I needed to make money while being able to go to classes, and being an RA was not lucrative enough. I got a job at the local HEB, but it was during a fraternity general business meeting that I learned about an earning opportunity that would end up changing my life forever. My president had informed me that the local Presbyterian church was looking for singers to bolster their choir's numbers and lead their congregation in worship for a meager scholarship. I grew up under the belief that any legal opportunity to make any money, no matter how little, was something that I should not easily pass on. Plus, I was desperate for extra cash. I remember raising my hand and asking the most embarrassing question I've ever uttered out loud in my memory. Presbyterian, is that Christian? The whole room erupted in laughter. My president assured me that it was, and I was never more thankful for my darker pigmentation. I was positive that I'd never blushed from embarrassment more at any other time in my life before that or since. So, because of that scholarship and later the congregation itself, I was going to church again regularly, and I was enjoying myself. Sure, it took some getting used to at first. There was no clapping and dancing during 15 minutes of opening praise songs. There was no random shouts of, yeah, amen, or preach, pastor. But the seemingly subdued, introspective praise of the Presbyterian service grew on me, and I found that I actually preferred the Frozen Chosen style over the one I grew up with over the past 20 years. After a year of singing and attending Sunday services, I converted officially through transfer of membership, and I became a full-fledged Presbyterian. Can I get an amen? Amen. I joined College Connections and really started challenging my faith and asking questions I had never contemplated before. I found that by approaching my Bible study like I did a typical college class, I not only engaged and learned more, I retained more information to assimilate into my daily life. I was being Christian for me, not because somebody had told me to do so. When I left Sam Houston and moved to San Marcos in the spring of 2010, I ended up backsliding. That's a good Christian term for you. I had none of the incentives I had gained from my church in Huntsville, and I used the excuse of being in an unfamiliar town to break a good habit. I later visited different churches sporadically to see if I could make any of them my new church home, but I never quite found one that fit. I even visited this church off and on for months before I started attending regularly and became a member. It wasn't until I sat behind a certain couple one Sunday morning. I didn't know them personally, but after singing the low voice part of the hymns that service, they turned to me after the benediction and gushed over my voice way more than I was prepared to accept. And I'll be honest, it made me feel great to have someone so appreciative over singing again and chose the very same spot to sit in the next Sunday. Now, unlike the previous week, the lady seemed to be expecting me that morning. She turned to me and greeted me. Then she pointed up to the choir loft and said, "That's my son, John, on the end there. You should go up there and sing with him." Now, I had definitely never been put on the spot like that by a perfect stranger. But even more definite, Virginia Weber was not going to take no for an answer. I introduced myself to John Weber and the choir directors, asked if I could join them in singing for the service, and became a recurring sight reader every Sunday morning after that. Jim and Virginia swore they were able to pick out my voice over the rest of the choir, and I'm pretty sure Virginia was proud as any mom would be of their son. These strangers wasted no time in adopting me as their own and John as a brother. I was back. I transferred my membership from Huntsville and became a regular attendee again. This time it stuck, and I felt like I was back on track. It was May in 2015 that everything came crashing down around me. San Marcos and Wimberley became the disaster areas of a devastating flood. And the house I was staying in ended up smack dab in the middle of one of the flood zones. Nearly everything I own was destroyed by water and mud. I had never felt anything like that sense of loss in my life. I didn't know if I was going to be able to recover. I had become very close to Mark and Deanna Lawlich by that time, and they were the first people I called after I found out that I no longer had a home. They didn't hesitate to take me in and told me that I could stay as long as I like. Not only was I surrounded by their love and kindness in the midst of my despair, but the entire church rallied behind me and other victims of the storm, giving us gifts of food, clothing, monetary donations, and much needed prayer. I can say with certainty that if I hadn't been in this place at that time, I would not have made it through. This church helped bolster a trust in God that I didn't even know I was lacking. I was positive that God led me here to this congregation so that I could make it through a storm that no one could have predicted. It was truly a miracle of faith. While staying with the Lawlages, Deanna brought me to a flood benefit musical at the Emily Ann Theater. There, I was introduced to one of the directors of the theater, and she promptly urged me to audition for an upcoming play they were putting on, To Kill a Mockingbird. I hadn't acted since high school, but it seemed the storm had effectively reset my ideas of what I wanted to do in my life, and I felt like I didn't have anything to lose. I accepted the offer and earned the role of Tom Robinson. I had a blast. I enjoyed the experience so much, I auditioned and was cast in the following production, Shrek the Musical. I never felt like anything had been missing before, but I felt such a tremendous sense of fulfillment in acting under the bright lights again. God had led me to a love I had put away as a teenager through a storm that had me crying like a baby. I felt that my trust and faith in God and what he was doing in my life had grown exponentially since that flood. On my way to one of the rehearsals for the musical, I stopped by Walgreens to grab water. As I was walking up to the counter to pay, a girl I had never seen before passed by me. We barely made eye contact, but as she passed, I was immediately shaken to my core. This overwhelming sense that something was wrong overtook me. I tried to put it out of my mind, get through the pay line, and get on my way to the rehearsal, but that feeling would just not leave me alone. A voice in the back of my mind kept saying to me, "If you let this go, you will be letting yourself down and her down." I didn't know what that meant, but the next thing I knew, I was setting my water down on the side of the counter and heading back into the store to find the girl. I found her at the same drink case I had just left, and feeling like a complete lunatic for even confronting her. The words just kind of tumbled out of my mouth, but the spirit was already moving. I said, "I know you don't know me, and I don't know what's going on in your life at this moment, but I can't shake the feeling that you're in need of some prayer. Would you allow me to pray with you?" Even more to my surprise, she agreed. I took her hands and began to pray out loud with her in that Walmart right there, disregarding everything else around us. I couldn't tell you what that girl looked like to save my life. We could have crossed paths dozens of times by now, but I couldn't pick her up out of lineup. What I am sure of, though, is that God led me to her in a moment just like he led me to this church and to the Lolliges. I can only hope that that prayer has had as much of a positive impact on her life. It was one of my fellow actors in Shrek that sent me a casting call for a photo double for a major motion picture that was shooting in Austin. I hadn't even considered film, but I still felt like I had nothing to lose. I sent in my photos and resume and landed a gig 2 days later. The next week, I was on a real live movie set, and my life course again was changed forever. I was bitten by the acting bug, and I knew that it was what I wanted to do. I ended up breaking my finger shortly after the Dublin gig, and my company's disability insurance was giving me fits on getting my disability checks going. It was during all of this financial crisis that I was emailed by the company that cast me for the as a double for the movie, asking if I was interested in being a stand-in for the same character. It was slightly less pay, but the gig was much longer and had regular compensation, something I desperately needed at the time. I jumped at the chance to be back on the movie set, and I was back at doing what I loved. I felt like God kept showing me that the opportunities were out there. I had been so hung up on finding security and sure things that I kept ignoring them, but he wasn't ignoring me. That stand-in job on the movie led to other projects in film as an actor, stand-in, and stuntman, including landing a recurring job as a stand-in for a main character on the major television show Fear the Walking Dead. I found myself at a crossroads. I couldn't keep killing myself by working a full-time job and being a full-time actor. I had to choose. Do I stick with the security of a job that I didn't find joy in at all, or do I become a starving artist wondering when and where the next paycheck was coming from? I consulted every advisor that mattered to me, my mom, Joshua, Jack, and most importantly, God. I was looking for some sign to tell me what to do and wishing things played out more like what I read in the Bible. You know, some loud voice or words etched in stone or a prophet of the Lord with a message just for me. And none of those things happened exactly, but a piece of advice from Jack stuck with me like any divine sign would have. Jack had been going through something very similar in leaving the security of teaching and becoming a full-time composer. When I was discussing my dilemma with him, he shared something that he had read recently. He said, "Sometimes you have to take the leap off the cliff and build your wings on the way down." Now, I may be butchering those exact words, but you get the gist of it. It was the perfect advice, though, to the direction that my life had already been heading. Through moving to a new and unfamiliar place, the loss that came with the storm, the struggle of recovering from a debilitating injury, it was my trust in God would find a way to work things out and get me through it all. What would make this any different? I quit my job at CFAN in February of last year and have been a full-time actor ever since. I can't say that I've got everything figured out, and there's still plenty of struggles when it comes to my finances and other securities that were afforded to me by a stable job. All I can say is that I will continue to trust in God and lean on this congregation that He led me to for support. Everything else will surely work out in time. Amen.